soldiers of the cross,
will tie us there.
It must not suffer long.
Onward to victory.
Sound the battle cry.
Let the church
stand up. I like that. Oh, you can sit down, actually. Sorry. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. And, yeah, this is really cool. You guys notice these flowers here? We'll be passing those out. But anyways, that's for later. Pastor Thaddeus has something fun for our moms. Before then, we're just going to go through a little bit of business, and we have a special presentation. So let's start off by remembering why we're here. Father God, you are. There's no way for us to describe you apart from good. You have to show us what's good. And for us to understand who you are, you have to break it down for us in ways that we can feel, touch, see, hear, experience. And you've given us that as gracious as you are through creation. The heavens declare your glory, God. Glory, the evidence of just how awesome you are. And the thought that you would share that with us is just too good of news. And the way you brought that about, through your Son, the Lord Jesus. So God, we just say thank you today, and we're going to say thank you. We're going to keep saying it through song, through clapping of hands, through some smiles, Lord. But best of all, we're going to receive your word, Lord, and we're going to show you our thanks in the way we give our lives to you and remind us that that is indeed what we've been called to do because you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, so just jumping right into it. Happy Mother's Day again. And starting off here, just remembering graduation Sunday is going to be on May 19th. And we'll recognize our 2019 graduates. We have the names listed there. The graduation celebration, okay? We have an announcement here. Caitlin Elizabeth McLean, am I saying that right? McLean, thank you, is inviting our church family to her graduation celebration on Saturday, June 1st from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. You got the address there. Also, the annual adult VBS, May 15th, 16th, and 17th, that is this week, 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., Wednesday, I'll be sharing. Thursday, Bob Tissot will be sharing in place of Thaddeus Stout, our pastor. And then also on Friday, Pastor Dr. Thomas Stout will be sharing. And we're asking that you please, if you're going to be attending, and we encourage you to attend, and you're going to be bringing someone, and we encourage you to bring somebody, please write your name down. Sign up, okay? Because that helps us to prepare food for you and your guest, all right? So really putting an emphasis on that, all right? Great. Even if you aren't able to sign up or you find somebody who'd like to attend who can't sign up, bring them anyways, but we're just asking, help us out so we can be prepared to welcome you and host you well. All right. On Sunday, June 23rd at 4 p.m., we'll have a combined worship and praise time with Galilee Baptist Church, at Galilee Baptist Church, and we encourage you to go there and to attend that. VBS, July 7th through 11th, we're still encouraging people to sign up and to get involved in some way as a volunteer, so you can coordinate with Sister Angie Layton with questions regarding that. All right. There's no youth group today, and I don't think we're going to have young adult group meeting either. Is that right? Okay, we'll get that confirmed. But one of the things I want to also introduce to you is, not introduce, but announce, men's softball. We're having an away game this Tuesday, so we've been having a good time with that. So I encourage you, if you're involved with softball, we're having an away game. Ralph Balkema gave us the address, so if you're confused about that, just get in touch with Ralph Balkema or myself or Pastor Thaddeus. And apart from that, I just wanted to remind those, if you're graduating and you're transitioning from youth group and you're finished with the youth group, this is the time for you to start talking with Jim and Amanda Dieters about being involved with young adult group, okay? So if you're a young adult, all right, I encourage you, you need to be involved with people that are serious about God's word, that are serious about holding each other accountable to walk in God's will as we see in his word, so that it will go well with you and that you could be used of God to bring healing and life to this sick and dying world, okay? Great. All right, so right now we're going to have a video presentation, okay? And then we'll close in prayer, all right? Thank you. We got that ready? All right, good.
Give me 1 second.
Sure.
Thank you. Sorry. Uh-huh.
Hey.
Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Hey, Ori.
Hi, nice
Hi.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best.
Yes, no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
All right. Give it up for your mama. Say thanks, Mom. That is a great way to put it, isn't it? So all the moms out there, thank you so much for being there through thick and thin. All right, so what I'd like to encourage you to do today is to just find every mom you can find in this room. That's our challenge today, and to say thank you as sincerely as possible. And that's right, turn the lights down low. It's getting serious, okay? No, turn those lights back on. All right. And really encourage our moms there present today, okay? And then we're going to pray right now, and then we'll move on with our agenda and being encouraged and worshiping our Lord, all right? Good. Father God, thank you so much for giving us the wonderful, beautiful gift of mothers. It's because of our mothers that we're able to have an understanding of how you care for us and you nurture us. You provide for us, that you love us. If our moms love us, Lord, how much do you love us? So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to love on our mothers today, to encourage them, even in the few minutes that we have, to encourage mothers that aren't our mothers, to encourage mothers that have played the role of mother for so many. And we just are grateful, God, for people and the way you work through people. Because they don't do it by their strength, but it's by your strength, Lord, that we get these things done. Lives are changed. And people are grown into people that contribute. So, Lord, thank you so much for giving us mothers and for giving to mothers that they may give to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, go ahead, look at it. Find a mother. Find a mother and say we love. Oh, actually, no. Are we? Oh, okay, never mind. Yes, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, yes. Yes and only yes.
All right, if we could find our places. You won't be able to hit every mother now. Maybe after the service you can say Happy Mother's Day to more mothers. But if we could find our places, and go ahead and have a seat. When you find your place, go ahead and have a seat. And so we do want to let our mothers know that we appreciate them. So, mothers and ladies, if you have been motherly toward any individual, then make sure you grab a carnation before you leave today, okay? So the carnations will be in the back. Make sure you get them before you leave. But we also today are going to give away 4 roses, okay? And so it's going to be hard to figure these out, so bear with me, and maybe we'll have a little fun with this, maybe not. So first of all, I need to know what mother one of your children or in your household, but not you, fixed the most extravagant breakfast this morning. Who got the most extravagant breakfast this morning? Any mom want to say, a mom has to raise her hand and say she got the most extravagant breakfast. Did any mothers get an extravagant breakfast this morning? My wife did. Are any other mothers get it? Did I see her? Okay. What did you get this morning, Laura? Scrambled eggs and peanut butter and jelly toast. That's pretty good. Yes. Chevy, what'd you get? What'd your mom get? Scrambled eggs and pancakes. All right. And Rachel, what did you get? All right, so we have to have a winner. Oh, Karen, what'd you get? Quiche. Oh, homemade quiche? Oh, he bought it. I got to go. I got to go back here. All right, come on up here. Happy Mother's Day. All right. I need to know them. I got to be careful with this. I'm going to get in trouble no matter how I say this. The mother with the oldest child present. Not saying it's the oldest mom. You're not necessarily. With the oldest child present. So anybody with a child here that's older than 60 years old? All right. Any mother with all right, 60-year-old, it's not the oldest mother, it's the mother with the oldest child present, okay? So, mothers, raise your, if you have 60 years old, 60, 65, your child's got to be 65 that's here, okay? Any with 70? Any with a child that's 70? Still back here? How old is your oldest child that's here, Polly? 73. I think you get this this rose. So we're going to give it to Polly for being the mom. Yeah. All right. Now I need the mother who changed the most diapers yesterday. The mother who changed the most diapers yesterday. So do I have any moms that changed 5 or more diapers yesterday? Are there any moms that changed 5 or more diapers yesterday? Oh, back here. Any mom change 6 or more, 7 or more diapers? I think we have our winner, though, right? Yes, come on up here. Congratulations on the diaper changing. Happy Mother's Day. All right, and we got one more that we want to give away, and this is for the mother who got the least amount of sleep last night. All right, the mother who got the least amount of sleep. Any moms here get less than 5 hours? We'll start big. Any moms get less than 5 hours? All right, and it's got to be because of your child waking you up. It's got to be because of your child, not just because you're an insomniac, okay? Because you're... All right, how about we got to go 6 hours. Any mothers get less than 6 hours of sleep last night? Man, we are a well-rested crowd. No sleeping during the message today. Oh, over here, Jackie. Jorge, how much sleep did she get last night? He slept through it. That's why he doesn't know. So, all right, we're gonna give it over here. Happy Mother's Day. All right, so moms, before you leave today, make sure you get a carnation, and every lady here who is, you're all welcome to get a carnation. Happy Mother's Day.
Beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. to cross the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, you washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, you washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious way, that you have saved me. Oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious name, Jesus. Oh, happy day, you washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever forever I am eternity in your hand, and you spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. Sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? What this heart, O God, completely to you. So what could I say? And what could I do?
Your glory, God, is what our hearts love. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. The glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory.
Father, we want to thank you for the mothers that are here today. Father, we thank you for mothers. Every one of us has had the joy of having a mother that's set up with us during the night. When we were sick or tired or whatever was going on with us, they've always been there for us, Lord. Father, I just pray for them this morning. Lord, I just pray you make this a special day for them. Father, we want to pray for our pastor this morning, Lord, as he's coming. We just pray you pour your spirit out on him. And Lord, we just pray our hearts are ready for the message you have for us this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the ushers come forward, please?
I pray that you would just bless our efforts. I thank you for all the workers. Thank you for the Sunday school class. Lord, just bless the teachers. Lord, bless this offering. Lord, may you be glorified in this offering. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you? For the kindness you've shown, Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord. Think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. But now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernie. Appreciate that song. Well, at this time, we will dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as the children are heading out for Children's Church, we are in Titus, and we are in chapter 2 in Titus. Titus chapter 2. We are continuing with our series this morning on a mentor-making church in Titus. Last week when we left off, we talked about problem people, and we talked about the solution to problem people as sound doctrine. That's the sound doctrine that helps us in handling people that are contrary to us and what we believe. Before we start reading in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, the definition of mother or mom, sorry, the definition of mom, the amazing ability to hear a sneeze through three closed doors in the middle of the night, three bedrooms away, while dad is snoring. Mother is a noun, a person with the ability to detect a lie, hear the smallest noises, and see out of the back of their head. That is mother. Let's all stand together and read Titus chapter 2, verse 1. You can read it right off of the screen. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. All right? Nice and short, right? Maybe we could all memorize this morning. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word in each one of our hearts this morning. Help us to understand the great depth of what this passage teaches. Because, Lord, we want to be a mentor-making church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Ann Jarvis lived between 1832 and 1905, and she inspired the movement that eventually made Mother's Day into a national holiday. After most of her babies died of diseases, only four of her 13 children lived into adulthood. She wanted to help other mothers, so she organized what were called Mother's Day work clubs in what is now West Virginia. And it was to help provide medical care, raise money for medicines, and improve sanitary conditions for poor mothers. After her death, Jarvis's daughter, Anna Jarvis, built off of the work of her mother by writing letters and giving speeches in support of Mother's Day. And President Woodrow Wilson designated Mother's Day as a national holiday in 1914. Ironically, Anna Jarvis never became a mother herself, and she became horrified by how flower companies, chocolate companies, and greeting card companies exploited Mother's Day for their own financial gain, and so Anna Jarvis advocated boycotts of Mother's Day and tried to sue the companies that were commercializing the holiday. Anna Jarvis took her mother's vision and passed it on. Then, those who she shared it with lost sight of the vision. And eventually, she had to do something to stand against what she thought was wrong and for what she thought was right. Now, Mother's Day is not a doctrine, but it became a rallying cry for the Jarvis family. And because Ann, Mom, pushed so hard for it, Anna took it on. All right, folks. Anna, Ann's daughter, became a mentor herself of a movement. And we can learn from this. See, we are to promote Jesus Christ. We are to build the work of Jesus. And how do we do it? We do it through sound doctrine. And sound doctrine will make a difference in the world. The problem is, as we teach sound doctrine, there are some who will pervert the sound doctrine, right? They'll lose maybe the depth of the sound doctrine. And so, as those who are taught right, we are to teach it to others. Here's what happens when sound doctrine is not part of what we pass on. The original teachings become convoluted, spoiled, and taken advantage of. That is why we need to pass on sound doctrine to our children. They need to understand the truth behind not just the big idea, but how to implement their faith in everyday living. And that's what this passage is all about. As Paul teaches Titus the tenets of a mentor-making church, he makes the basis sound doctrine. Everything will be built on this. And then he lays out what it looks like real time, in real life, in different stages of life. So let's look at verse 2 in Titus chapter 2. It says that the aged men, okay, this is aged like good cheese, right? Meaning old. More years that have passed, okay? That the aged men be sober. Now, I'm going to give you some Greek words. Forget the Greek words. Just understand there's a meaning behind every single one of these words. And we're going to see common words between different stages of life. And they're common words in English. But if you look at the word in Greek, they're actually different words. And so I have to give you the Greek lesson in order for you to understand what the passage is truly trying to teach. Okay? So I'm not doing it to show that I'm smart, because I'm not. Okay? But I'm trying to show you the Greek so you can understand that these words all have different meanings to them. So this first, it says that the aged men be sober. Okay? The Greek word for this is nephelios. And you're like, what? Okay, it means to be vigilant or aware. To be vigilant or aware. Old men, you are not nappers. You are vigilant and aware. grave, not in the grave. The word grave here, it means venerable, honorable, honest. Okay, doesn't mean you can't crack a smile. Venerable, honorable, honest. Temperate. The word for temperate means self-controlled, moderate. Sound. Now, a lot of you, you turn up your hearing aid when you want sound. This word sound, it means uncorrupt, true. In fact, if you go back up to verse 1, sound doctrine, the word, the adjective used to describe doctrine, now we see the noun form, the nominative, and it's telling you men to be sound, but that means uncorruptible, true. In faith, your faith is your persuasion, your conviction. So you are supposed to be uncorruptible and true in your persuasions, in your convictions. In charity, okay, the word charity, it's not just regular love, because we're going to see different forms of love used in this passage. This is, the Greek word is agape, and some of you go, oh, I know that one, that's like the best kind of love. Right, it's the giving love. The only person that this will be told to is the old aged men. Because old aged men, you need to remember that you are to be giving in your love. Impatience. Patience is hopeful endurance. Patience is not, you know, oh, I'm losing my patience. Okay, it's not that kind of patience. You can't lose this. It's hopeful endurance. So while you're going through a struggle, because aged men do, you watch your children grow. You watch them raise grandchildren. And then it's like, whoa, hopeful endurance. That's what patience is. Then it speaks to the aged women in chapter 2, verse 3. Likewise. So he's spoken to the aged men. Now he's going to speak to the aged women. And he says, likewise, I want you to listen to what we're saying, because this is really important here, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness. That word holiness, because it's like holiness is like a really big ask, right? Oh my goodness, how can I be holy? That word holiness, it's also reverence. The closest to anybody in Scripture other than God being called reverend will be right here in this passage. The aged ladies, you are to demonstrate reverence. You live like a reverend. Not false accusers. Okay, the Greek word is diabolos. Some of you are like, ooh, Diablo, the devil. Okay, no, that's not it. It'd be like comparing the word corner in English to coroner. Okay? No correlation, right? They just have one letter difference. Well, that's how this is. So what is this? What is a false accuser? A false accuser is, well, it's exactly what it sounds like. Someone who will disseminate false information to get ahead of someone else. Busybody. Rivalry between ladies sometimes turns into speech that tears down. And so not false accusers. Not given to much wine. This is saying not one who drinks much. You say, well, why is that thrown in there for the elderly lady? Why not for the older man? Well, in that time, has anyone here ever read The Iliad by Homer? Oh, come on. A lot of you in school had to read it. All right, good. All right, some of you. Sam, you know what I'm talking about. All right. In the Iliad, Homer writes this, and he was Greek. He wrote during the general period that this is. He says, speaking of old women, at this age, they delight in wine. Because here's what was known about the Greek and Roman ladies. They loved to drink wine. They were known to imbibe and to share. And the problem that became, they became busybodies. They were false accusers because they were imbibed. And then they would bring the young ladies into it. And that really became problematic. And so here, the instruction is, aged ladies, you are not to be given to much wine. The commentator, Gill, he says this about this passage. He says, this is also a prohibition to serve it. Don't just be given to much wine yourself, but don't be given to serving it to others either. The key is don't be enslaved by it or make a practice to sit with others, especially the young, and to drink it. And then the next phrase here in verse 3 is teachers of good things. This word good, it means, it's telling us here that you should always be passing on, that's what it means to teach, pass on good, helpful, useful information that builds up. All right? You're like, you get all that from two words, from teaching good? Yup. All of that is in these two words, teach good, that you are passing on good, helpful, useful information that will build up. And then in verse 4, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober. Now, up in verse 2, we saw that the aged men were to be sober. This is a completely different Greek word, okay? This is this Greek word is sophronisio. So the root word is sophia, which means wisdom. But then it has an action, a place to it. And so sophronisio, here's what it specifically refers to. Teach the young women wisdom, how to properly use their senses. Teach the young women how to properly use their senses. To love their husbands, and the word for love here is different than it was up earlier with the agape for the aged man. The word here, the root word is philo or phila, you know, Philadelphia, brotherly love. Well, the root word is phila, and it's andres for men, and then it says to love their children, so it's philo technos for children. So what kind of love is this love? This is affection. Affection. Now, why tell the young women, why say teach them how to be affectioned toward their children? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right? Moms are usually naturally affectioned, right? A lot more than men. Well, a truth is, mom usually spends more time with the kids than dad, right? And so it's easier for mom to have her patience worn thin. And so teach the younger women how to keep up that affection for their kids. And we all understand why they would need to learn affection for their husbands. Because, guys, as much as we think we're easy, we are not. You notice it doesn't tell the aged men to tell the young men to be affectionate toward their wives. No, it taught the aged men, you be giving in your love. And if they are giving in their love, then they don't need to worry about trying to be affectionate. Because if they're giving in their love, they will be what their wife and children need them to be. Then in verse 5, it says to be discreet. That means to be moderate, okay? You don't have to put everything out there. Not everything has to be Yeah, they didn't have social media back then, but you don't have to post your problems on Facebook. You know, had a fight with the husband tonight, right? Now, back then they didn't have that, so they would probably talk to the elderly ladies and say, hey, I'm having an issue. Okay, let's be discreet about it. Let's be moderate with our conversation about it, because this isn't the best way to handle it. Chaste. This means modest, clean, pure. Keepers at home. That does not mean you have to stay in your house. It means that you should manage your household. Good. That word good means productive. Obedient to their own husbands. That's voluntary subjection. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Because young ladies are the example setters for the word of God. Your children will understand the Bible, young ladies, because of you. You are that example. So then it speaks to the young men. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. The young men get a totally different word for sober than the aged men and the ladies. Now, their root word is sophia, okay, wisdom. Still the same root word. But it's speaking a little bit differently. It's sophroneo, which means wise and cautious in thinking. Okay, because young men are not known for their caution, right? You know, what's the saying? Oh, boys will be boys. Well, you know what the instruction here is? It shouldn't be that way with you Christian young men. Shouldn't be outdoing foolishness and go, oh, boys will be boys. Because young men, exhort them, teach them, encourage them, challenge them to be wise and cautious in their thinking. Verse 7, in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works. Young men, you are supposed to be a pattern for good works. You are to set the example. So, okay, I know this is weird, but growing up, seven kids in our family. We only had four at the time, but we lived in a government-subsidized housing. My mom and dad were both going to college, and I remember that we had paper dolls that we played with. We didn't have action figures. And so what my sister would do is she would cut out patterns for me so that I could clothe my paper dolls. I know this sounds really feminine, doesn't it? But so we would do that, and so she would like make, so I'd put basketball jerseys, football jerseys on mine, you know, and they were rough and tumble. But I wasn't good enough at arts and crafts to just kind of do it. And so she would always cut a pattern. Young men, you are the pattern for good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness. When it comes to doctrine in young men, you are supposed to be entirely pure without any turning to the right or to the left, without any coming short or shooting too far. You're supposed to hit the bullseye when it comes to your doctrine, young men. Gravity, not the kind, you know, apples fall on your head. This means a proper reflection in honesty. A proper reflection in honesty. Sincerity. You should be genuinely moral. Young men are often known to play the field. No, young men, you are to be genuinely moral. Sound speech, that word sound, is the same word sound that we've seen two other times now. And so when it uses this word sound here, it's referencing the fact that you are to be uncorruptible and true. Again, not this idea that the world has where young men should you know, kind of sow their wild oats. No, young men should be true. that cannot be condemned. Your sound speech, your true speech, should not be condemned by anyone. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. See, oftentimes we try to look at young men and say, oh, you know, you got to let them have their space, let them make their mistakes. You know, young men, you should not be expected to live that way. You should be expected to live in a way where no one can say anything evil against you because of your conduct. So what we have in this passage are the effects of sound doctrine. That should be a blank in your bulletin there. The effects of sound doctrine. Number one, for the older men, you are the example of conduct, speech, and action, while purposefully passing down sound doctrine. That's the pattern for the aged man. Number two, older women. You are examples of proper conduct, intentionally teaching the virtues of life. Number three, young women. The living testimony and picture of Jesus. In the home, young ladies, young women, you are the living picture or testimony and picture of Jesus. And then young men, be willing to learn how to live out the good works that naturally will protect the reputation of Christ in you. You should naturally be living out the good works that will naturally protect the reputation of Christ in you. So now you're sitting here going, wow. This is like the ideal. We're not expected to be this way, right? No, no, no. This is what we should be. This is what sound doctrine in the home, in the church, this is what it produces in lives. This is what we should expect. And if we expect anything less, we will get that. So let's talk about doctrine's work, okay? Doctrine's work. Number one, it's passed down. Now bear with me for a second. I've got to walk over here. I'll do it without my notes. I'm going to walk over here because we have a really good example of some, how this plays itself out. So, Polly, you have some of your children here this morning, right? And you have a granddaughter here as well, right? And a great-granddaughter, right? That's pretty cool. Where's great-granddaughter? Oh, sitting way up there. All right, let's have the four generations stand up. This is... How often do you get to see four generations in one place, right? All in one church. That's pretty cool, right? How great is that? Now, here's how it happens. Not by accident. It gets passed down. If it doesn't get passed down, then it only stays at the top. And it never goes anywhere else. And so, what do we do with our faith? Even if you don't have kids, you know what you do with your faith? You pass it down. You find somebody to invest in, someone to help to pass it down to. And what we do is we continually pass it down. This is mentor making. See, I'm not talking about being a disciple making church. I'm not talking about being a mimicker, creating people who mimic you. No, we are a mentor-making church because we want to create in the lives of others the opportunity to pass that same faith down. And it all starts with the older generation has to pass it down to the next generation. You know where I learned to pray? Okay, my mom and dad, they prayed with me all the time. Prayed with my dad all the time. Okay, I learned how to pray for meals from my dad. Okay? You want to know how to pray for meals? Thank you for this food, bless our bodies, in Jesus' name, amen. That's how you pray for food, man. Doesn't matter. Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, we're all gathered around, big meal, and, you know, we share what we're thankful for. All right, we're ready for this big prayer. Not my dad. all right? And I've got it memorized. But you know where I really learned how to talk to the Lord about my everyday need? My mom would come into my room every night, bring me a glass of water. I never peed in my bed. She'd give me the glass of water, and she would sit on the end of my bed, and she would pray with me every single night. The night before I got married, guess who came to my room and said, "This is the last time I'll ever get to do that." And I cried too, because my mom taught me how to pray. She passed it down. You know, when we prayed, it wasn't this flowery, you know, it wasn't something where you'd be like, "Oh, man, whoo, they pray." No, we were just talking to God. She'd ask me what was going on. She'd pray about what was going on. All the stupid stuff teenage boys went through, she'd pray for the stupid stuff. The stuff I needed prayer with, always covered. Pass down the faith. Now, in order to pass it down, you have to have it, right? Number two, produced by faith. So you're passing it down, but what you pass down, it's produced by faith. So, unfortunately, sometimes when you try to pass it down, you have resistant children. Anybody here have any resistant children? Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? I don't have any resistant children. And you better not, because I will get the belt out. They laugh. Oh, why are you laughing? You're supposed to, like, tremble. Like, "Oh, no, Dad." They're still laughing. This faith has to be produced. The sad thing is we can't force it. Now, the Bible gives us a whole bunch of things to do. Train up a child in the way that they should go. Train. You know what that means? You got to train them like you train a dog. I have a book in my office if you want to borrow it. It's called The Dog Trainer's Guide to Raising Children. Great book. I got another book in my office. It's called The Home. It's written by an Amish person, and they talk about disciplining your child. Really good. Know what they did? They flicked. Flick them. Woo! You been flicked behind the ear? Give me the belt, you know? Listen, the scriptures tell us that we are supposed to discipline. If we don't, if we allow unruliness in our children, then they will never comprehend the ruliness that Christ brings to their life. And if they're never forced to understand consequence, they will not understand consequence. And they will not fear the judgment of God. And if they never face correction from their parents, then they will never know that God corrects. And they'll think that their behavior will always be excused. And so this is why it's important. It has to be produced by faith. The home is the proving ground for how mentorship should be happening everywhere. You will not produce a greater faith out in the world than you produce at home. You may fake it out in the world, but you will not produce a greater faith out in the world than what you produce at home. In your role, whether you're the older or the younger, you will not do a better job out in the world living your faith than what you are doing at home. You know, some of you kids, even if you're a 60-year-old kid, because you're still a kid, because you still got a parent, you need to understand this principle. You need to understand this. It's a truth. Those who God has placed in my life that are closest to me will be a reflection of my relationship with him. And if I can't treat them right and get along with them, you know what that tells me? I'm not treating my God right and getting along with him. Number three, popularized by example. Okay, this is the one time you want what you do to be popular, okay? Here's what happens to your faith when you live out everything that we read at the beginning of this message. When you live it out the way that God wants you to, here's what happens. Your example becomes popularized. When you do it right, others will want it and they'll get it. Matthew 5:13. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We have the most attractive lifestyle. Oh, some of you are going, oh no, but you don't get to have any fun. Then you don't understand the lifestyle. If aged men live according to what the scripture said aged men should do, you've got the best life. If aged women do what the scripture says, man, that is the best way to live. Young women, young men, this is it. Everybody wants this. They just don't know how to get it. And you know what happens when you live this? It fulfills. It is awesome. There is nothing better. No evil can be spoken of us who live according to sound doctrine. And when it's handed down to you and you live it, that's the best. And when you hand it down to somebody else, woo! That's the best asked. I know, I just broke grammatic rules. It's great to live the faith. But boy, there's something special about seeing my children live that faith. Your children, grandchildren, all who fall under your influence will be made better by living out your sound doctrine. Following sound doctrine and allowing others to pour into your life will enable you to experience growth with God. And that brings us to number four, protected through right living. I mean, look at the end of verse 8 with me. Having no evil thing to say of you. You will be Teflon to the world's accusations. Nothing will stick. Today, I just want to encourage everyone here to have the sound doctrine in your life. You cannot have the sound doctrine if you don't know Jesus personally. You can't possess it to share it with others. You can't live it until you receive it. I want to close with a story that puts receiving Jesus into perspective. Today's Mother's Day. This is a day where if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you want to give your mom a Mother's Day gift. There's no greater thing than give your life to Jesus. Let your mom know that you will spend eternity with her in heaven. So let me close with this story here. A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection, from Picasso to Raphael. They would often sit together and admire the great works of art. When the Vietnam War was on, the son had to go to war. He was very courageous, and he died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified, and he grieved deeply for his only son. And about a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. A young man stood at the door with a large package in his hands. He said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I am the soldier for whom your son gave his life. He saved many lives that day, and he was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him. He often talked about you and your love for art." And the young man held out his package. "I know it isn't much. I'm not really a great artist. But I think your son would have wanted you to have this." The father opened the package. It was a portrait of his son, painted by the other young man. He stared in awe at the way that the soldier had captured the personality of his son in the painting. And the father was drawn to the eyes drawn in the painting, and it made him well up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. "Oh no, sir, I could never repay your son for what he did for me. This is a gift." The father hung the portrait over his mantle, and every time visitors came to visit his home, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he showed them any of the other great works he had collected. The man died a few months later, and there was a great auction of his paintings. Many influential people gathered, excited over seeing the great paintings and having an opportunity to purchase one of them for their own collection. And on the platform sat the painting of the son. The auctioneer pounded the gavel, and there was silence. The auctioneer said, "First up, painting of the man's son." "We want to see the other pictures." Nobody had gone there to buy the picture of the son. No one would offer a bid. Someone shouted from the back of the room, "We want to see the famous paintings. Skip this one." But the auctioneer persisted. "Will someone make one bid for this painting? Who will start the bidding? Somebody give me $100. No takers. $50. No takers. Another voice angrily cried out, "We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see Rembrandt, Van Gogh." The auctioneer continued, "I'm auctioning the portrait of the son. Who will take the son?" Finally, a voice spoke up. It was the gardener who had gardened for the family all those years. He said, "I don't have very much money. I'll give you $10 for the son." The auctioneer said, "$10. Once. Twice. Sold." Banged the gavel, put down the gavel, started walking off the stage. And everybody said, "What about the rest? We want to see the rest of the paintings. We came here to purchase them." The auctioneer stopped and he said, "The will's instructions were explicit. Only one painting would be sold, and the rest of the paintings would follow the one. Whoever purchased the son would have them all." This morning, I have told you about living good works according to sound doctrine. And there is only one way that that takes place. First, you have to have the Son. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, He died for you. He paid the penalty for all of your sin. And all He asks of you is to trust Him. Receive His gift of salvation. Now, He'll do something radical in your life. He'll change you. This good living that we've been talking about, He will make that part of your life. The avenues of sin that you used to chase and used to pursue, He's going to cut those off. And He's going to give you a new direction, a better way to live. So the question for you is, have you received Him? And if not, will you receive Him today? Because with Him comes everything. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for an opportunity this morning to share these wonderful truths. And Lord, if there's anybody here who's never received Your Son, they're missing out on everything. And so I pray that right now, in the quietness of this moment, they would call out to Jesus Christ. And they would say, "Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sin. Thank You for coming into my life and offering me an opportunity to be saved. I receive You, Lord Jesus. Please save me." And Lord, if anyone will say that and mean it in their heart and confess it with their mouth, Lord, You want to save them. Lord, I thank you for the reminders this morning of how we should live. Help us to be a mentor-making church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we sing this closing song, let's stand together. If you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, Jesus wants to save you. I'll be standing at the front. If you've never received the Son, I'd love to talk to you about that. Please come and tell me you'd like to do that. And if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, think about your role. Aged, young, you think, well, I'm in between, then you're both aged and young. You got the double duty. And you know what? We should be excited about this, but we don't do this on our own strength. We do it through the strength of the Lord. And so as we sing this song, let's remember that fact. Double duty this morning. He did special music. But Ernie and Sue, they met with me this last week and told me that they wanted to join our church. And they've both been saved. They've both already been baptized by immersion. And so they agree with our statement of faith. And so if I could have a motion to receive them into membership, I have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Ernie and Sue, welcome to 12th Street Baptist Church. So why don't you go ahead and go to the back so we can extend the right hand of fellowship to you as everyone is dismissed, all right? Lord God, thank you for bringing Ernie and Sue to our fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. And so, Lord, many of us have mothers that have passed down a faith that has produced fruit in our life, and it has been popularized in our life to our family. And so we just want to say thank you for putting those people in our life. And Lord, it is protecting us from this world's evil as well. And so, Lord, I just thank you for mothers who are faithful. I thank you for those who may not have their own biological children, but have been motherly to many throughout the years. And so, Lord, to you, we say thank you for the gift of moms, mothers, motherhood. And so now unto you, the only wise God, be glory and honor and power and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Happy